Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm so glad we got to hear these young people. Sorry, I'm like going to do this technology real fast. I'm really glad we got to hear them perform because they've been practicing that song for months and they're like, can we do a new song? Yeah, just perform it and then you can do a new one. So good job, everybody. That was great. And isn't it great that God can take dust and make beautiful things? He can take refuse. He can take whatever he wants and make wonderful things. So let me introduce myself better. I'm Jesse Hurrow. I work here at the church. I'm the youth guy. I haven't been up here in a while working with these youth. There's just a lot to do with them. So let me just kind of break things down a little bit. For our youth ministry, we have a few things. We have the youth group, which meets on Sunday nights. We also have Crash Zone, which is an after-school program. Then we do this youth outreach retreat we call Houseboats. And as of last week, we do band camp. And that's it's all a lot of work. So the youth group is a pretty fun group. This isn't at our church. This picture is taken at the beach. We don't have a beach here, unfortunately. Still waiting for Session to approve that one, but... but yeah, we once in a while we'll take a little trip Saturdays. We go to the beach, we go to the movies, do fun stuff. But for the most part, we meet on Sunday nights here. We eat dinner and go over some scriptures and play some games and activities. So that's been pretty fun having youth group here. And then we have Crash Zone. Some of you may not know what Crash Zone is because the name doesn't imply that it's an after-school program. So there's a middle school right next door, and these kids here, they sign up for our program. And they come over to our campus 5 days a week during the school year, and they do their homework and then do a bunch of activities. In this picture, they're sitting in go-karts, these little push go-karts, and we had like a relay race with these go-karts. For like a month, we had this woodworking project where we built three go-karts, and then they played with them like crazy and broke them a lot. Like, it was like, Jesse, it broke again. Yeah, I saw. I saw what you did to it. So that was a lot of work. We've been turning it into an enrichment program. So having that goal in mind was the motivation behind doing go-karts and other crazy activities that we're trying to get going. Houseboats this year, we went up to Lake Shasta, and they have this youth retreat there. All these campers come out from all over the... Well, there's a group from Colorado. I was like, you guys don't have lakes in Colorado? Okay. So, yeah, but our group, that's kids from Crash Zone, from our youth group, and family members of family members who signed up to come. So we had a pretty good group this year. We had a lot of fun, and we learned a lot about Jesus out there. And as of last week, we started band camp. So who's that in the front? They're conducting that group. That's Becky. That's our Becky. She's right here. So she's a little rock star. She's out there working hard for them. Now, all four of these things, we had kids from Crash Zone or from our church and et cetera, et cetera. We had one kid who did all four of these things this year. And that was Joshua McDonald. He's our superstar. He's our utility player. He does everything. He does everything but mow the lawn and do the dishes. But yeah, he'll do it all. Play saxophone. Pretty good saxophone player. So yeah, it's been a lot of work this year trying to change some of these youth ministry things, Crash Zone especially, trying to get some new stuff going. So I'm really thankful that we have support from Christian Ed and from Session and from Morgan and Becky as well this year. It's been really fun. We hired new staff at Crash Zone, and it's been an interesting year. And I'm really glad to be a part of all of it. It's been an adventure. So if you have your Bibles, please pull them out. Matthew chapter 5, title of this message is, You Want Me to Love Who? Like, serious? I have a question, though, for these youth people that are sitting over here. What's the name of our series from Houseboats? Walk the Walk. Thank you. Joshua knows it all. He's ready. So the series we've been working on is called Walk the Walk. When Jesus first calls the disciples at the end of Matthew chapter 4, they left what they were doing to go walk with him. They just like, okay, bloop, dropping these things. I'm going to literally jump out of a boat to go follow you where you're going. Now I'm wet and I've got wet socks and we're going for a walk. Great. And that's how dedicated they were. I'm like, whoa, hold on, let me get a towel. I'll come to you, Jesus, but just give me an hour. He's like, no, come right now. Let's go. That's how our series started. We were on houseboats. And by illustration, we had one of the houseboats people just jump off the boat. And like, that's what it's like. He just jumped off and was like, I'm coming. So that's what it's like to follow Jesus. And then he goes right into this Sermon on the Mount to explain how his kingdom works. And so by walking the walk, you do what he's saying in the Sermon on the Mount. So here we are in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 44. Sorry, that was the world's loudest vehicle just drove by. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's a pretty good challenge, I think, that Jesus is giving us in this passage here. So as we look at verse 43... You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Like, I guess that was an expression they had back then. I've never heard that expression. Make sure you love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I've never heard anyone say that. But I can tell you, I've seen people do that. I've seen people live that. I love these people. I love only these people. But those other people, I hate them. Or they might not say hate, but they might say some other condemning words that separates those other people, okay? Now, by that, I mean, sorry, let me go back. I've just seen it a lot. I've been around, and you can see how people will try to make different enemies out of thin air, like Morgan said. Now, sorry, as Jesus says, you've heard this said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And then there's a but. There's a but, okay? Right in the middle of that, he says, but. Now, if you can, whenever you read Jesus' words and he says the word but, what you are allowed to do here is roll your eyes and make a big sigh like, oh, like a groan, okay? Have you ever asked your parents, can I go to my friend Tim's house? And they say, yeah, you can go. And you're like, and they say, but, and you're like, dang, but first. And you're like, oh, I was going to go. I was gone. But first, can you do the dishes? But first, can you mow the lawn? But first, can you fold all the laundry? But is your room clean? And then you're like, it's not. It's not. And I have to do all those things now. Great. So just like that, when Jesus says, but, brace yourself. Okay? You've heard this. Da-da-da. Here's status quo. Here's how our carnal bodies want us to live. Here's how our nature goes. But here's the challenge. Love your enemies. But love your enemies. Okay, that's quite a big challenge because maybe you don't have enemies or maybe God doesn't know your enemies. Maybe God is not familiar with how terrible your enemies are. Okay, it's them. It's those people. Okay, love your enemies. But, you know, they've made their own choices. But I'm telling you this because we have all these mental gymnastics that we might go through to say, I don't have enemies, but these other people are da-da-da-da. Jesus gets the but. You don't get the but. Does that make sense? Jesus is a lot. Why does Jesus get to have a but? Well, because he's the Son of God, okay? You don't get a but. He says, don't hate people. Love your enemies. But. No. Okay. Have you ever had someone say, but you don't know? But you don't know. You don't know my story. Did God know your story when he wrote these scriptures? When Jesus is up there speaking these words to describe how his kingdom works, he was unfamiliar with your plight, with your story, with your traffic jam in the evening? Okay, was he unfamiliar with your family struggles? Or was he speaking directly to you in the midst of what you're going through? So those people, however you've imagined them to be, I don't know who your enemy is, but we make them, we create them. Maybe they've done horrible things. And the challenge is to love them. Now, I play sports, okay? And when someone fouls you in sports, the typical reaction is to look to get them back, okay? This guy tripped me from behind. All right, I'm going to foul him back. And then the referee never catches the first foul. Never. He catches the second one. And so that's going to be me if I don't watch. So I have to change how I react. Does that make sense? When I'm wronged, I have to do the opposite of what I want to do. Loving your enemy, that is complete opposite of what you would want to do. I want to hurt somebody. I want to get them back. I want to get revenge. That's how it works. They need to learn a lesson. I'm just teaching them a lesson. Okay, maybe I'm getting revenge. Maybe vengeance is God's and I just got to be his child, okay? Do the opposite of what, that's my challenge to you. Do the opposite of what you want to do. When you want to say something to attack who you think is your enemy, do the opposite. Sit there and be like, wait a minute. The scripture says to love my enemy, and that's counterintuitive. I should probably just, as a general rule, do the opposite of what you want to do. And you'll be in a better pathway. It's like err on the side of the opposite, and you'll be on the right path. Let's get back to the scripture. He says that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So we were talking about loving enemies, and then Jesus talks about the sun and the rain. And immediately I realize that God is paying our utility bills. So if your kids ever say, "You never buy me anything," go ahead and put a little Christmas ribbon on the light switch, on the water fountain, the sink, on the stove, and on your groceries. When they open the fridge, say, "Merry Christmas, you have milk this morning. Merry Christmas, the TV turns on. Merry Christmas, you have a bed." That's basically how God loves everybody, is he's paying these utility bills. I can't make it rain. He's loving way more than I can do. He's out here giving sunlight to everyone. That's how God shows his love. But also, he doesn't isolate who he gives love to. He cannot. He gives it unconditionally to all people. But not only that, not only does he give the rain and the sun, but if you recall, God the Father gave us his son because he loved the whole world. I mean, that's how the scripture goes. The one that we all know, for God so loved the world. Not for God so loved me or the better ones or the ones who made the right choices or the ones who never made mistakes or the ones whose mistakes didn't hurt other people. He loved the whole world. Unfortunately, he loved the ones I want to hate. Fortunately for me, he loved all of us. Fortunately for all of us here, he loved all of us in our worst times, in our best times, whatever it was. That unconditional love was for everyone, regardless of what you were up to. Be like God by loving your enemies. If you want to walk the walk, and this is what we were talking about in houseboats, if you want to walk the walk, if you want to be real, be like God by loving your enemies. Don't try to be like God by being right all the time, by having all the answers. Be like God by doing this one thing, this one very difficult thing, by loving your enemies. Let's move on. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? There's a lot of sarcasm in this passage. I'm just like, Jesus, are you upset, man? What's going on? But let me just tell you, this paragraph here starts with this word, if. First of all, he says, if you love your neighbor. First of all, he doesn't even like guarantee, he's not even sure that you're going to do that, okay? If you love your neighbor. This can be difficult. My neighbors where I live right now, pretty nice people, very sweet. You know, they, excuse me, Jesse, can you help me with this thing? Yeah, man, totally. And then like, hey, we got a new puppy. And they're just like, you know, I'm sorry, he's barking. And then they go, oh, we don't even hear it. Wow, you guys are perfect neighbors. You never like are bothered by anything we do. Super courteous. They're always, hi, how are you? But that's not always the case. Have you guys ever had a rough neighbor? So I hear some laughter already. My grandpa told me this story. And my grandpa is, he lived in a different time, I guess, where roads were dirt. And so when I met my grandpa, he was much older. He was already retired. When I was like five, they retired. And but in the 30s, they lived in, sorry, he was born in the 20s and then in Texas. And then at some point, he relocated to Arizona and lived there. So in his young married life, when he was in his early 20s, this is in the 50s, I guess, he lived in Arizona and in this like rural town. And he had a neighbor who would get drunk and try to start fights all the time. And the guy, the neighbor, his name was Mateo, he would go and threaten to get the crank, you know, to like jack the car up. He'd be like, Domingo, I'm going to get the crank. And my grandpa was getting so tired of it. So I mean, my grandpa's telling me the story when I was a little boy, but I'm trying to imagine my grandpa, this 70s, 80s year old man, like, how did you ever get in a fight? You can barely walk. Like, so I'm trying to picture that because I never met him as a young person. But he was at one point young. And so he gets so mad one night, Mateo's outside yelling, Domingo, I'm going to get the crank. And then he would yell out, Te voy a matar, which means I'm going to kill you in Spanish. And my grandpa is just getting so mad. So then my grandpa runs to his closet and gets his rifle. And he had had it. And I'm like, he's telling me the story. And I'm just like, I can't even picture any of this. And then he runs to the door with his rifle. He's going to go shoot Mateo. Mateo, he's yelling out the door. And then my grandma says, Mingo, you better not. And so my grandma, my whole life, has used a cane. And so I can't imagine her not with a cane. Okay? But she runs after him. First of all, I was like, runs? And then she jumps onto the gun like a broomstick, like if she's going to fly away with it, and tries to pull it. And so what do you think happens? Bang! Shoots a hole in the door. They get scared. Okay, I don't want to murder Mateo anymore. This got real. This got really real. So, first of all, if you can even love your neighbor, sometimes that is your one enemy. Secondly, in this sarcastic passage that Jesus gives us, those are the easiest people to love. The people that are your closest people in your proximity who you are with all the time, those are probably the easiest people to love. Like my kids, really easy to love them. My friends, really easy to love them. Like that's not an accomplishment to have loved the easiest people in your life to love. So, oh, my husband's such a great husband, such a good father. Don't brag about that. That's the easiest part. Like that's the easiest one. Here's my third thing. It directly benefits you to love the people in your exact proximity. So save the bragging. You know, Jesus is like, okay, that's great. You love the people around you. Even the tax collectors can do that. And that's, in his time, they were pretty vile. Okay? Even like the people we all hate can do that. So relax. Even the pagans can do that. Relax on your bragging on loving your neighbor or your direct family, people in your direct proximity. Because it literally benefits you. I greatly benefit from loving on my wife. I'm like, I'm going to be nice to her. And she's going to make me a great dinner. Or, you know, be nice to me. Or let me watch my show. Like, it always directly benefits me whenever I'm nice to her. That's what I'm saying. Not much of a brag to love someone. So, the point here is we are called to love more than our neighbor. You're like, well, I have a lot of non-neighbors. I have more non-neighbors, I think. And Jesus is calling us to love those people. Them. Those. The ones who are different from me. The ones who don't live next door to me. The ones who are rude, who I don't know, who maybe are on the internet or passing me on 101. Maybe those people are just way out there, and I don't understand these people. That's who the ones Jesus is calling you to love. Your non-neighbors. And this last sentence here, it's pretty tough. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. If you're going to walk the walk, then you need to keep this in mind. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, by perfect, I mean overcome temptation. By perfect, I mean when the world throws trash at you, when the world throws something at you that's horrible, let it bounce off. It will not affect how you react. You cannot let it affect how you react. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Overcome. You can be above the stuff that's happening around you, the gossip, the accusations, the dehumanizing your enemies so that they don't sound like enemies anymore. They sound like little monster people. You can be above all that. Resist that. Overcome that temptation, okay, by perfect. There will be obstacles. There will be hardships. And when they come, be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Walk as his disciple. When he says, come, you, John, Peter, whoever it is on the boats, come out. Okay, I'm going to follow you. Okay, now you're going to love your enemies. What? Like, that? Do what I do. Be a disciple. Okay, you want to be a Christian? Okay, well, part of that is walking and following the example. As your heavenly Father is perfect. You don't got to be perfect, but you got to try. Loving your enemies is quite difficult sometimes. One of the things that I would say is like probably most difficult is if you keep loving your enemies, you're going to run out of enemies. Well, then what the heck? I had this nice collection of enemies, this like bevy of enemies, and then now they've just all become, well, I'm their friend. They might not like me, but I'm their friend now because I'm loving on them. And I sent them cookies. And I'm like, why did you send me cookies? We're supposed to be enemies. So now you might run out of inventory if you keep loving your enemies, okay? Sometimes loving your enemies is so hard, but sometimes that's where you make the choice for Christ. Okay, you know, like at the end of a sermon, you might have a guest speaker, an evangelist come and say, you know, for anyone who wants to become a Christian, raise your hand, and they raise their hand, they're saved. Great. Perfect. Easiest place to make a decision like that. After an hour lecture, and you're kind of like, okay, yeah, I want to go home. Do we have ice cream? Thank you. I'll raise my hand for that. These choices are made in the tough times. These choices are made when you are being challenged, when you are face to face with a new enemy and you are thrown off. Are you standing on solid ground? Are you anchored in Christ? Have you been reading your scripture? Have you been praying? Because when your enemy shows up, how do you respond? This can be very challenging. And that's when you make your decision to follow Christ. When you're at a crossroads, okay? Sometimes you made an enemy out of somebody who's close with you. Okay, for me, there was a point in my life when I was 19, I moved in with my grandparents and on my dad's side. The other story was my mom's side's parents. Now it was my dad's side's parents. And my grandpa had been through World War II, and I think he had some trauma, you know, fighting Nazis in Europe somewhere. He never told stories like my other grandpa did. But he had started getting dementia. And he started getting, like, you know, violent and fits of rage in his 80s. He's in his 80s, and he's getting really angry all the time, fighting with my cousins. And I moved in, and my cousins are like, watch out, Grandpa's crazy now. I'm like, like, he was a pastor. I'll be fine. Relax. And that wasn't the case. When one of my cousins was having a baby, he left all of his other kids at my house with my grandma to watch, and it was driving my grandpa insane. So my older cousin's having a baby. He's at the hospital. His other kids are at our house. And my grandma's supposed to be watching them. And my grandpa starts losing it. One morning, I get up, and my grandpa's like just throwing stuff, slamming doors. He picked up something and then threw it down. And then he starts yelling at my little cousin. And he looks like he's about to hit her. And I'm like, whoa, Grandpa. I'm like, I had just woken up. And I go, Grandpa, what are you doing? Relax. Stop. And he's like, you can't tell me this is my house. And he goes to hit her. I restrain him. And this is my grandfather who, like, helped raise me, who's in his 80s. I'm 19 years old. I have zero wisdom. I've acquired zero wisdom at this point in my life. And I don't know what to do. Okay? I have decided at this time in my life that I don't like domestic violence. I don't like violence toward women or children. So then my grandpa, I try to calm him down, and he's getting angrier, like frothing at the mouth. He's getting angrier. And my cousins are crying. My grandma, my dad's mom, she comes out with a walker. Like, she can barely walk, and she's like, stop, what are you doing? Calm down. So then he goes to, like, I don't know, she's saying to call the police, and I'm like, Grandma, I don't think we need to call the police. We don't need to take it there. But then when he goes to, like, attack her, okay, she goes to the phone, and then he goes to get the phone. He goes to cut her off at the phone and wants to hit her with the phone. But back in those days, for one thing, the phones are heavy, so it would have hurt. But also, it had a cord, so he couldn't do it. It was like, dink. And I was like, whoa, you almost just hit. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're calling the police. And this is one of those times in my life where I had to make a decision. How do I respond in this kind of situation? Do I let myself get angry and hurt my grandfather, who's in his 80s and he helped raise me? He doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to hurt somebody. And I had to, like, step back, okay? I'm in the moment, but in my mind, I have to step back and say, I have to make some good judgment. This is terrible. I'm against everything that's happening in my house right now, but I still have to love him. I got to let the police come in and do what they need to do, but then I'll still be my grandfather's grandson. I'll still do what I can to take care of him and love him. They didn't end up taking him away. He pretended to have a heart attack. So then they call an ambulance. And then, do you want to go? It's like $1,200. And he's like, I don't know. That's expensive. It is difficult. Enemies can be the closest person to you. They could be someone who you loved, and it would hurt forever to be betrayed like that. But you have to lean on God. You have to turn to God for the strength to love your enemies. You have to keep making that decision. Like, yes, I want to be a Christian. You got to make that decision when it's hard and you want to hate somebody. When you want to, like, just, like, rip things apart. That's when you make the choice to follow God. When it's difficult. When you don't know what the outcome is going to be. When it's beyond your own abilities. That's when you lean on God. That's when you make that decision to walk with Him. To follow His example. That's when you make the decisions to love your enemies. Let's bow our heads real quick. God, thank you so much for this group here. Lord, I pray that you would bless us this Sunday morning. That these words would penetrate our hearts, and that you would use us to love this world and to heal this broken world. And we thank you, God, for your scripture, for your encouragement, for your love and your compassion. And we just ask that you be with us this morning as we continue to worship your name.